But we do.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, people.
Wow. Yes, sir.
About to show y'all what we're working with. All
right, Mr. Cool.
There it is.
Show what you're working with.
Watch yourself.
We
are officially talking sports for the 12th man. Apologize for the craziness. Ain't no impeachment happening here. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy, man. I know. I didn't mean to do that, man. But it's crazy, man. But, again, a lot of things to talk about. Recruiting has been going on. Christmas is right around the corner. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, all of that, man. Again, we just wanted to, have one more talking sports. Well, actually, we got two. We're going to hit this weekend, next week before actually the Christmas holiday kicks off. But again, we are officially talking sports for 12th man. So let's get this party started on December the 18th. Again, the year is flying by, gentlemen, and I couldn't think of a better opportunity to spend this last couple of weeks, to kind of like talk some sports with you guys, man. So JQ, how you feeling, bro? Feeling good?
I'm good. Are you okay? Because you was ready to be done for the year. You said, we're done. We only got one. Oh, no, we
I
got
know.
Two.
I'm literally
we got
like,
no more shows.
Really
we're done.
Like
I'm out.
I know. I'm ready to wrap this up. I'm ready to wrap this up. But it's been fun. No, it's been good. I'm excited, man.
You always better always have it all together.
He was done with this show for this year. Like, you know what? Fuck it. But no, I'm good, man. How you doing? All right.
Like everything, it's been like a crazy like day, and it's been like I've wrapped up four events over the weekend. So if I'm a little off, man, again, it's only because I've been trying to recharge the batteries. But again, it's not because there's no lack of love. I'm just it's just been crazy.
I know. I'm messing with you, bro. I'm messing with you. I'm good.
I know it's all good. But you good? Before I turn it over to that crazy guy, crazy wild man, Les Rob. What's up, Rob? Rob Ford.
Ready to make it do what it do, baby.
You're not telling us what you're eating for the week, bro? You ain't doing that no more?
No, man. I've been on this strict diet, man. I lost 16 pounds.
Uh-oh.
Man. That sounds fun.
Well, I hope you find it.
All right. That was good, Gary. Yeah, we hope you by the 60 pounds. Hey,
no,
that was good.
Nobody wanna know what I'm eating these days, man. It's real basic.
Oh man.
You're
right,
gonna
like
eat that kale and that quinoa.
Salad but no dressing. Man.
Oh my gosh. You're on that Cliff Huxtable diet.
Can't have no cheese on the salad, nothing, man.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, like I said, man, America, pray for Rob because he's going through a whole other conversation.
Yes.
There. But again,
yeah.
Let's get this
snap
party
on somebody.
Started.
I'm hungry. Stop talking to me.
now we know why Rob is going to sleep, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's hungry actually. Hey, we have a lot of things to talk
Egg
about.
Egg whites and asparagus for breakfast.
Oh no! Please stop him.
I didn't open up the can. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, America. We can stop right there. Really quickly, the number to call on the show is always 424-243-9519. Follow us at Twitter at 12th Man Sports. And then last but not least, go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th Man. You will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen,
y'all get to drink a beer
and
watch football. I get to drink green tea while watching football.
Rob,
hey, man,
on,
I am
man.
Not coming to New Orleans with your ass with that foolishness. If you don't get us some crawfish etouffee or something, man. Hey, man, you want some green tea with extra green in it? Like, no, man, we're not going to do that.
Oh, no. I'll make sure you eat good when you're here. I wouldn't do that to my guests.
You want me to feel good? Well, I lose. Go ahead.
Andre knows the drill. Andre knows what places I take him to when he comes to New Orleans. Gary, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We went to the one place that had the corn.
Make sure you eat good when you come in.
It was good stuff, man. Yeah.
Tell them about that double chocolate bread pudding, Andre.
Was that at the Redfish? We had the Redfish and stuff like that.
Yeah, Redfish Grill, the Hickory Grill Redfish, and the barbecue oysters.
Yeah. Oh, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
That was pretty. Wow. Serious tangent. But that was good.
Hey,
we
need to have a fellas trip. Y'all need to come and eat it up.
Hey, not while you eating quinoa. We ain't. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dre. We told the wrong show.
Rob, finish your diet before JQ gets there. That's all we're gonna ask, man. But again. We're sorry, America. I was trying to get that quick intro in really quickly so we can talk some sports. Why don't y'all talk sports? Why don't y'all talk sports? Here we go. So right off the bat, this is pretty crazy that Dak Prescott, does he make the Pro Bowl? Over Aaron Rodgers? I mean, now, again, we talked about the decline, but Gary and Curtis right off the gate, how about your boy Dak? What you got for that?
Well, if you compare Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, there's no comparison. Dak Prescott's 7-7 with his team, and Aaron Rodgers is 11-3, and you know they may end up with a bye week. Aaron Rodgers is 24 touchdowns and 2 picks, and I I'm going to give it. Dak Prescott's having a good year. But, Aaron Rodgers' team he's playing better, and he's not turning the ball over as much. He hasn't thrown for as many yards, but he doesn't have to. His team's winning. I would have to give the nod to Aaron Rodgers.
If they lose this Sunday, it's a bad season for everybody that's associated with the Cowboys. If they lose Sunday, it's horrible. And if Aaron Rodgers loses Sunday, which should be the best game of the week with them going to Minnesota, it's not going to matter as much, and it's not going to be as devastating as if the Cowboys lose Sunday. No matter what kind of stats Dak has.
Hey. While the Cowboys are struggling, it's not Dak's fault, man. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, Dak is having a good season, as you all mentioned. I mean, when you look at his statistics. Statistics on the year, he's having a really good year, Dak Prescott. There's no doubt about it. But I think Gary said it best. When you're on a team that's 7-7 and Aaron Rodgers is on a team that's 11-3, it's hard to question. Now, when you look at Aaron Rodgers' last 8 games, he's got 16 touchdown passes, 0 INTs. So, I mean, it's only 2 touchdowns a game, but he's very efficient. When you talk about the 0 INTs, though, that is a huge stat. And plus his team is 11-3. I'll tell you, the shocker from the quarterbacks that's selected for the NFC, and I'm a Saints fan, I'm a Drew Brees fan, but Drew Brees, he's only played half the season. And so to me, that would be more the shocker out of the quarterbacks that was selected to the Pro Bowl. Like I said, Drew Brees has been great. I mean, last 2 games he's thrown like 9 touchdowns in 2 games. And no INTs. He's been great in the games he's played, but he's only played half the season. And so he would be the one that I was probably more shocked that got selected to the Pro Bowl. And like I said, I'm a Saints fan. I'm a Drew Brees fan. But to me, it wouldn't be the Aaron Rodgers would be the question mark. It would probably be more Drew Brees just based on the number of games he's played.
Yeah, but his impact in those games, Teddy did a really good job. I mean, he was undefeated. Wasn't he like 5-0 in those games? Yeah, but Drew Brees has the name power. Not that Dak doesn't have it, but he doesn't have Drew Brees' star power. And you talk about Aaron Rodgers, he's efficient. He's not losing games for his team, and you guys have touched on it. with him being 11-3, but he also has had a really serious running game with Aaron Jones and Marcus Williams. So that's taken some of his passing numbers off, because he just hasn't had to be as prolific as we've seen Aaron Rodgers have to be. When he had a mediocre to non-existent run game, it was all about him making it happen with his arm. But he's still, you know, the force behind that right stat ship. That team and those running backs have those lanes because, oh, we got to deal with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. So I know his numbers in terms of, like you said, there's only two touchdowns per game in the past eight. But when you're 11-3, it's hard-pressed for you to be a quarterback on a mediocre team and make it, whereas you could be that kind of person as a running back or a wide receiver. But as a quarterback, you have to be leading almost an elite team or a team that's, you know, threatening for one of those top seeds in both conferences to make it. And that's just been the way it's been over the last couple of years. You see more mediocre quarterbacks get into the Pro Bowl as the third, fourth, or fifth alternate when the other guys don't want to play or they're in the playoffs and they can't play, right? So I'm not super shocked at that. It's like the Heisman going to the quarterback all the time. The Pro Bowl quarterbacks are going to be guys from teams with good records, and that's just the way it is.
The Thursday,
fair enough.
Call this week for a month. We're going to carry on. It's pretty interesting because I had a feeling you were going to talk about that too, and too bad Big Mike's here to like share his thoughts about this too, man, but I'm sure he'd add a little thing as far as that too. Let's jump into some NFL predictions here because I am really ecstatic about this, sir. The first game right off the bat is, again, let's not throw a pick on the Cowboys. We got the Cowboys at the Eagles. Here it is, the second meeting. So, Curtis, Gary, you got the first crack at this one. What are your thoughts on this particular prediction?
Okay. Jason Garrett is 7-2 against the Eagles as a coach in Philadelphia. I think the Cowboys have a better quarterback than the Eagles do. I think they've got a better offensive line than the Eagles do. I think they've got a better running game than the Eagles do. I think they have a better defense than the Eagles do. I'm going with the Eagles.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Gary got some serious issues.
Hey, last week it worked. I went with the Rams.
Oh, man, you sounded like a reverse psychiatrist.
A phenomenal game.
Gosh.
Go Eagles.
So the reverse jinx.
Gary's going with that. And I don't think Gary's superstitious, but that's what he's going to go with. And I'm just going to say, on paper, just like what Gary said, on paper, I got to go with the Cowboys because on paper, it says Cowboys. Who's got heart here? And what's going to show up there? Is, you know, I'm on the show me Cowboys wagon. Show me. But one of the things I want to say about this, if the Cowboys take care of business, what I would do after locking up this division, I would rest that last game of the season. I would rest everybody. And I would focus on what we're going to have to do to win that first playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to go with Dallas, and I'm going with Dallas for the fact that the Eagles are just decimated, you know, at their skill position players. I mean, Miles Sanders has been really a revelation at running back for him, and I give him back him and Zach Ertz. But if you take care of those two guys, you know, Whiteside and, you know, Aguilar's probably not going to play. Ward Jr., you know, the converted quarterback playing wide receiver. Like, you know, if you can't beat that team when they're down most of those weapons, no Deshaun Jackson, no Alshon Jeffrey. Like, I was just dumbfounded watching those past couple of games against the Giants and the Redskins. Like, they got two guys that you know are going to probably get the ball in Zach Ertz and Miles Sanders, and you're letting them go completely batshit. Like, what are y'all doing? If you don't put two guys on those guys and play everybody else straight up and take your chances, I think that's what Dallas does. If they have any kind of sense about them and wants to win this division, they're a little hurt of a linebacker. You know, they lost two or three linebackers, I know, but, you know, I'm putting Jalen Smith, I'm telling him, hey, you got Miles Sanders all day. I'm putting a safety. My strong safety on Earth and giving him a little bit of help. And then I'm going to take my chances with Carson Wentz finding other guys to beat me. I just don't think he has shown that he can do that. If you take those guys away, you can beat Philadelphia. So I'm going to go with Dallas. They're going to win this division, and I'm with you, Curtis. I would. Anybody that is a little nicked up, any piece of nicked up, I'm resting in week 17 and trying to get ready for a playoff run.
Yeah, and I agree with I like the Cowboys in this matchup, too. And, you know, JQ touched on it about the injuries, you know, Alshon Jeffrey being out for the year. And you know, another big issue here, too, you know, I just look at the way the Eagles have played the last 2 weeks against the Redskins and the Giants. And they won those two games, but they didn't look great doing it. And,
no.
I mean, they were able to squeak those two wins out. And I just don't think they're going to be able to match up. And, you know, Gary, even though jokingly touched on it, and they just were not going to be able to match up with the Cowboys from a personnel standpoint in this matchup. I know the game, the only thing Philly's got going for them in this game is they probably got a better head coach and they're at home. But I think from a personnel standpoint, I just don't think they're going to be able to match up with the Cowboys from a personnel standpoint in this football game. So I like the Cowboys by at least 10 points. I'm going to go 30-20 in this football game on the road in Philly.
Good call. Let's switch to the next game. My schizophrenic Falcons are facing the Jaguars. And I really – if you would have told me they would have beat the 49ers, I would have thought that you were crazy, man. So I'm not sure what team is going to show up personally. So I'll let you guys have that. I mean, I literally don't know what's going to happen with the squad, man. Apparently we look good 1 week, then we lose to Tampa Bay, but then we have some challenges versus the Saints. I don't know, man. Is Dan Quinn going to keep his job? Nobody knows. Go ahead, JQ. What's your thoughts on this one, bro?
Well, I think this game is more about the Jaguars than it is about the Falcons. And if you read that story, Tom Coughlin just got fired today. And I want to say they said that 25% of the claims against the teams this year have been against Jaguar players, against the Jaguars with the NFLPA. I mean, that's damn. If one team has a quarter of the claims filed against the NFLPA, I mean, that's insane. The Jaguars are a complete dumpster fire. And Minshew looks like he's lost a little bit of that mojo. D.D. Westbrook isn't playing well. Shark is hurt, but he may be coming back. If they come out and play with that same scheme they played against that, you know, really, you know, efficient and high power 49ers offense, they could win that game by at least 10 points. But like you said, you don't know which Falcons game team is going to show up. So I think they win by like 4 points. It's going to be a close, ugly bum fight kind of a game. But I'm going to go with the Falcons just because I feel like the Jaguars are just in a worse position. They're just more of a dumpster fire right now than I think Atlanta is.
And I agree. And that Tom Coughlin, this goes back to, you know, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. And he's probably finding those guys for that foolishness. I mean,
right.
And, I mean, that's what the NFLPA came out and said. I'm not going to say that's foolishness. I mean, you should come to work early. Let me, rephrase that a little bit. But, you know, some of the stuff, you know, everybody out there listening, if you're 20, 21, regardless of how old you are, you should be going to work early. Go to work on time. Let me rephrase that. But, no, but some of the stuff that Tom Coughlin you know, some of the stuff is a little bit over the top that he does, too. And I guess it caught up with them as well. And now for the NFLPA to come out and warn players from signing with the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars ownership had no choice but to fire Tom Coughlin after that. For the NFLPA to warn players from signing based on the number of fines that players are getting, you know, playing for the Jaguars. And you have to wonder, too, if this has been the reason why they just haven't been able to get over the hump. Because and from what your eyes tell you, they got a talented roster on that team, Jacksonville does. And they just can't seem to be able to get over the hump. And defensively, I mean, you saw Jalen Ramsey, you know, they wound up trading him, and that probably had a lot to do with it, too. I mean, they had the personnel on their roster to really do some, you know, damage in the AFC, but
yep,
they have not
game.
Been able to get over the top. So I think now I think a lot of things are starting to, with this Coughlin story coming out, is showing us why they haven't been able to get over the top. But, you know, I don't talk too much here, but I like the Falcons to win a game, too. I think it's going to be about 30. I'm going to go with the same score as the other game, 30-20 Atlanta at home.
Curtis, Gary, do I got anything to add to that? Hello? They over there? Who was it?
Did we lose Curtis and Gary?
I hope not. Okay. All right.
No. We're here.
Okay.
So with the I'm going to go with the Falcons on this one. I think that this is going to be that week that they play like they can beat anybody. And I think with the Jags, I think Coughlin is – I think it's just the NFL's kind of just passed him by, I guess. He's just too old school for these guys, and he probably won't coach in the league again. You know, it's his time. He had a good run, won a couple Super Bowls. Congratulations. You know, now go, you know, play some golf or something.
Well, yeah, Coughlin was involved with beating that undefeated – Patriots team. So, and, you know, he was having problems in New York with the kind of stuff he was doing. I was hearing stories about. But Sunday, I had some head scratchers and my mouth open at some of the games I was witnessing on Sunday. And one of my biggest head scratchers, and one of my biggest, with my mouth wide open, are the Atlanta Falcons. I can't, like I said, I'm so mad at the Atlanta Falcons because I remember the beginning of the season on this radio station, I told everybody the Atlanta Falcons were going to win that division. And we got in the middle of the season, and I looked like a dummy. And now...
Oh, boy.
And now Atlanta's kicking people in the butt. Where was this all year? What was this all year? And, of course, I'm picking Atlanta. Atlanta looked really good on Sunday. And Matt Ryan looks like, Matt Ryan looks like, I've always kind of had a question mark about Ryan, but on Sunday he convinced me that he is a real NFL quarterback.
I appreciate you for sure about that, Curtis. Yeah, we don't
know. You
know,
getting
all
back
right.
to the Tom Coughlin situation, you know, another nugget from that, and when you look at their roster and some of his drafting decisions now, Leonard Fournette obviously went to the same high school in New Orleans. He's an LSU guy. Love Leonard Fournette. But then when you think about from a franchise standpoint, they took Leonard Fournette over to Deshaun Watson, who is now a franchise quarterback. And you have to wonder, you know, obviously, you know, it's easy to go back and second-guess draft decisions, but that was a huge blunder also by Tom Coughlin.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to tell you guys.
Out of Norwell, that big deal. Yeah, at guard, and he hasn't lived up to it at all, and they're probably going to cut him. So, yeah, he's had some questionable decisions and extending Blake Bortles and then getting rid of him. Like, yeah, he's had a series of missteps that's caused Jacksonville for sure.
Yeah, and not only Deshaun Watson, he passed up Patrick Mahomes in the same draft. And like I said, Leonard Fournette, you know, great player, but you're just not going to get the longevity from a running back that you are going to get from a quarterback, and they're a franchise that needs a QB. And you passed up Mahomes, and you passed up Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's a huge blow to your franchise right there. And you still don't have your quarterback for the future. Foles is not it. And you can say about the mustache, dude, he's not it either.
Me too. Yeah, he's been Patrick 2.0. I do.
Me too.
Hey, man, I got to say, these young whippersnappers don't know anything about the NFL, man. That's why they're mad at me, man. It's all good, man. So, you guys got to toughen up. This is what it is. I'm Tom Coughlin. I came from the Marines. Y'all don't know. Hey, let's keep this moving with the next game. This is a pretty big game. Really huge game. I'm totally joking. But you got to, like, have some balance with that Tom Coughlin, too. Like, we agree with the discipline, but you just have to have some, you know, balance. Don't go all the way to the left over there.
Right.
Really big game. We've got the Bills at the Patriots. And so shout out to my man Ernie. He's a huge Bills fan. He was excited about what the Bills are doing. And he is like, yeah, Patriots are going to lose again. And right now it looks like the Patriots have lost some luster. Hopefully they have not been caught filming the Bills. Sorry about that, JT. But again,
right.
let's take a peek. There's a lowly Bengals. They got to film the Bengals. But I think the Bills are going to get the Patriots again. And then apparently there's some still challenges with right now with Tom Brady and the offense, and he's starting to get like, as JQ says, we got to talk about Father Time as undefeated, man. So is kind of Tom catching up with Tom Brady, if you will, too. But let's see right at the gate. I will start out with Curtis and Gary, but I'd love to have you guys in it out. But we'll start with JQ and Rob and have Curtis and Gary talk about how much you guys love the Patriots. Go ahead, JQ.
Okay. I mean, yeah, and it's crazy. Like, you film a team, and then, you know, nothing happens in that week, and then you come out and you destroy them. Well, like, yeah, you just filmed them last week. I mean, what kind of deterrent is it if nothing happens in the week that you get ready to play? I'm like, yeah, I know everything you want to do. Now we got to try to switch all our signals within a week. Like, that's crazy to me anyway. So until they start taking some games away from people, like, hey, you forfeit the game if we find out this happens, that's the only way it'll stop, because taking a pick or this, that, and the other still doesn't stop them from winning the game in that season when they're already cheating. But anyway, yes, that New England offense is not good. And Edelman is hurt as well, which is really hurting him. He's the only guy that Tom Brady clearly trusts, and nobody else is really getting separation. Harry's trying to work his way back. Sanu has never really been a burner, and he's not getting any separation. And Tom Brady is just not willing there to hang in there and take those hits anymore. And you can see him getting a little skittish and coming off of receivers that are trying to break open, but he's like, oh, nope, not taking this hit, throw it away. And he's like, I got a good defense. Maybe I'll get the ball back with a chance to win. And that defense has played well against bad teams. But against good teams, you know, not so much. And they had a really tough game with Buffalo that first game they beat them. I think they got a blocked punt that kind of swung the momentum in that game. But, you know, that Buffalo defense is playing good ball. And they showed it to you against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, which is a huge win for them, for anybody really to go into Pittsburgh and get a win on a primetime game. So they showed me some things. So I know it's blasphemous, and I know it's at New England. But the way that New England offense has been playing, I'm going to go with Buffalo and that defense and Josh Allen, you know, require like – nobody's talking about Cole Beasley and John Brown, but they're doing a really good job as, you know, wide receivers that nobody really wanted in free agency, and they put those guys together with Allen, and they're growing together. And Singletary has been good, and Frank Gore, his 85-year-old self, is still playing good ball. I mean, that Buffalo team is not spectacular, but they're solid. And I think they're solid enough to go in there and win a 20-17 kind of game in Foxborough.
15 years he's been playing. That's crazy. Go ahead, Rob.
Frank Gore. Yeah, and I can see where you're going with that one, JQ, and I would like for them to make that prediction, but it's just still hard for me to predict Buffalo to go on the road and beat New England. And you're absolutely right. New England has looked horrible on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I know they were able to put up 34 points this past weekend, but they have not been great. Tom Brady has not been very great. They don't have any weapons that really scare you in that offense. And even the offensive line. Personally, I don't think the offensive line is that great. I mean, they're starting left tackle, Newhouse. That guy was in the Saints training camp, and he got cut. And now he's just starting left tackle for the Patriots. And so, I mean, that's not an offensive team that you're going to be scared of. I think defensively they're keeping a lot of ball game. So what?
Shaq Mason is known decent. You played Georgia Tech. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, man.
I'm going to still pick New England at home just because I just can't see Buffalo. Until Buffalo has proved to me that they can go and beat New England, I'm just going to go and pick New England. And I'm going to go 17-13 New England at home in this ball game.
That's scary.
Wow. You know what? Everything tells me that the Bills will win this game, except the cheating factor. You know, I don't know if it's, what they're going to do, if they're going to film something, if they're going to deflate balls, if they're going to, bribe the referees, whatever it is they're going to do. They do it well. They do that. They win better than everybody else, and they also cheat better than anybody else. But I am going to go with the Bills in this one. I think the Bills have a little bit of swagger, and I think that they're mean enough and hungry enough to go in there and steal one from a team that is not really very good on the offensive end.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are saying what the Patriots are going to try to do and what they want to do. They're going to hang their hat on defense. And they're going to hang their hat on special teams. And they're just going to ask Tom Brady to do enough they're not asking Tom Brady to be the hero anymore. Just do enough. We play great defense. We beat teams with our special teams. And you just do enough to get us by. But you know I want Buffalo to win this game. And you know I want Buffalo to beat that butt. And after this Cincinnati thing, there's no doubt that all the NFL record books, when it comes to the Patriots, should have an asterisk. All their Super Bowl championships, all their runs, and even Tom Brady being the GOAT, but asterisk. Bill Belichick being the greatest coach ever, but an asterisk. But I'm not going to say on the radio that I'm going to pick the Bills because I don't want all my friends to come up and be betting me 50 and 25 and that dollar. So I'm going to go ahead and say, because it's in New England. But, boy, you know I want the Bills to win it.
He's using my theory right there.
You know I want the Bills to win that game. But I'm going to take the Patriots.
I can feel it, Curtis. I can feel it.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I hate that term. Oh, I hate that term.
Oh, my gosh.
Lord have mercy.
Ooh.
I know it's an ass whooping in all progress right, when they say they're on to Cincinnati.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Let's the asterisk team.
Yeah.
A lot of asterisks going on. Gentlemen, so let's talk about the next matchup here. We've got the Rams going to the 49ers and two squads that had some interesting losses here. Obviously, I got to check and see the roster, see what's going on with the 49ers, because I know they had some injuries versus the Falcons. Still didn't, understand why we won. And then you had the Rams losing to the Cowboys this past week. So you have two teams that could have potential being pretty mad at each other here. So, again, we do have a division game. So what say you on this particular thing on this third out, guys? I'm going to start with the West Coast, if you will, about this particular matchup.
Well, this is in San Francisco, correct?
Right.
That is
and
correct.
So, with that said, the 49ers should have an edge in this game. They've got a great defense, but I don't think it's Jimmy G, really. I don't believe in Jimmy G. I would say it's more like Jimmy G than Jimmy G. So with that said, I think I'm going to go with the Rams in this one. I'm shocking everybody. I'm going with the Rams. I think the Rams are going to go in there and beat the 49ers. And the only reason I'm saying that is because this is one of those games where you've got two pretty good teams. You got, clearly the 49ers are better, but now you're playing a division opponent. And you know how that goes in this league. So I'm going to go with the Rams in this one.
I'm going to go with I don't really think I'm a dummy. So, what I see is if you stop Gurley and Gurley only gets 15, 20 yards in that game, and you got Jared Goff throwing over 40 passes, you beat the Rams. And they are walking on eggshells about Gurley, but it really looks like Gurley is not the guy. And I guess because they paid him, they're all heartbroken in L.A. And I think if you're an expert football guy, and what I see, Gurley nowhere get golf thrown 40 and 50 times, and you blow him out. I'm
that's
picking the 49ers.
Oh.
I'm picking the 49ers.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going with the 49ers, too, at home in this matchup. I know they lost to the Falcons, and I know defensively the last couple of weeks they have not looked that great on the defensive side of the football. But you know, I just think they're going to be able to, they're going to have enough, in my opinion, to respond from the way they played this past Sunday against the Falcons to beat the Rams. Now, I know the Rams are motivated. I mean, they still have slim chance of making the playoffs, and you know, want to, you know, play spoiler against their division rival, the 49ers. But I just think the 49ers are going to come out and be too strong for them. I think it's going to be a close football game.
Man.
I'm going to go 27-24 49ers in this matchup.
Yeah, well, you said you got Jimmy Guff. Well, what about Jared Goff? Because I don't trust that dude at all.
Yeah.
And what you just said is that if you stop Gurley and you put the on his shoulders and you get San Francisco getting Richard Sherman back, and they feel like, you know, this game probably for them can't come soon enough. And I know the Rams got embarrassed as well. But they got embarrassed by a team that's even at 7-7 is still winning their division. The 49ers losing to the Falcons, it wasn't a wake-up call of what we've been doing is not going to get it. We thought we were already where we needed to be, but we're not. I just think for them as a team, they can't wait to get back on the field and go against Jared. And then while the Rams have a lot of weapons on offense, getting Richard Sherman back, and our reports that he's supposed to play this week, and that's a big deal in that game, take away one side of the field, because he's actually, I think, was rated as the number one cornerback by Pro Football Focus this year. So you take the number one rated cornerback out of a game, it changes things, right? And you can let Julio be Julio without a whole lot more resistance when you have to deal with Richard Sherman. So that being said, I don't feel great about it because I'm with you on Jimmy. He just is so Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You don't know which one's going to show up. But I just don't trust Jared Goff. I've been saying it. And I think the 49ers, like, you know, they watch all those other teams win and tie them up record-wise. They can't afford another slip-up, especially at home. So I'm going to go with the 49ers in a similar game, 24-21, San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, another thing about the Rams, Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's just, like, disappeared. I mean,
mm-hmm.
like wow. I mean, he has really disappeared. That's really Rams are down a weapon, and I just don't know if the Rams' offensive line can hold up against that 49ers' defensive line. I mean, they had a little roll going there where for a few weeks that young offensive line looked really good. But Andrew Whitworth, man, I think he's, you know, I know he's an LSU Tiger, won a national championship with LSU, but that was way back in 2003. I think he's starting to show his age a little bit. He leads the league in holding penalties as well. And now you got to deal with that 49ers' offensive line. And I think that's going to be really tough for the Rams. I mean, I still think it's going to be a close game, but I think they're going to have a hell of a challenge going up against that defensive line with those young guys on the right side and Andrew Whitworth falling apart on the left side. That's going to be tough for the Rams.
Yeah, and Brandon Cooks might not even know he plays for the Rams anymore. I mean, he's had like 8 concussions in 2 years. Like that dude's brain is scrambled eggs. Like he might be done, and it's sad. I mean, I don't mean to make light of it. But, like, he's falling off a cliff because I just don't think he's right. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think he's right. And that is my weapon. But, you know, Reynolds on those sweeps that nobody could seem to stop is crazy. And Robert Woods and Cup is a weapon as well. But the trigger man, if your trigger man has questions, then all the weapons you have can become obsolete if you can't get the ball to him, right? So that's my problem with the Rams with Jared Goff. And that's why I'm going with the 49ers.
It's like Steve Young, man. He got knocked out of the game one time at home in San Francisco. They brought him to the sidelines. The trainer asked him, where are you? Steve Young said, the Rose Bowl. It was like, man, he went back like 10 years playing for the LA Express in the USFL.
Wow.
Like, he's out of the game.
Yeah.
He's
great. Thank you so much.
He's trying to think of something good. Wow. He shot hide it from me. The next game, we've got the Saints at the Titans. And again, the Titans, Ryan Tannehill, man, you talk about a guy that's been kind of like having a little resurgence, man. So, obviously, it's a mini resurgence. I don't think it's going to be a resurgence against your Saints, Rob. But, you know, again, even though they lost the Texans, a really tight game, really close game to Deshaun Watson, you know, but still.
I told you.
They've been playing well. Yeah, good call. Good call. Yeah, you got it was close, man. So, you know, we'll let you have your moment, JQ. But, you know, obviously. This is a totally different scenario. I know the Saints are traveling. The Saints are coming off. And congratulations to Drew Brees, obviously the number one, taking over Peyton's rookie here, most touchdowns and whatnot, too. We knew that was going to happen, too, but just phenomenal. Took a little longer, you know. I don't know what's up with the refs and the Saints, man, but, again, he got it.
Right.
Congrats to Drew Brees. And I sit back and think, man, that was an interesting decision that Nick Saban decided to go with Dante Culpepper versus Drew Brees, and how that decision just took different franchises, different directions, man. But I think everyone's thinking the Saints. But go ahead, Jake, I'll let you start this one off, man.
Yeah, and I won't do too much because I know this is Rob's thing. But, yeah, I'm going with the Saints, and the big reason why I'm going with the Saints is that Derrick Henry is not healthy. And they got to keep putting him out there because he gives them a better chance to win. But his hamstring is not healthy, and you can see that he doesn't have the burst that he had early on. He's out there plotting and doing what he can. But you're taking some of his effectiveness away because he doesn't have that burst and that ability just to keep powering through throughout the game over guys. And if we want to be honest, Tom Brady is only like 2 touchdowns, I think, behind, maybe 3 now, behind Drew Brees in that touchdown record. So I think Drew Brees and Sean Payton are totally trying to bury that record, and they know they got to keep doing that because Tom Brady, while now he's not Tom Brady, he's still playing ball. So he has a chance to throw touchdowns and try to get closer to Drew Brees. And you can tell in that game they were trying to obliterate that record against the Colts. And I think that that show doesn't stop as this year continues to wind down. So, you know, we get Marshawn Lattimore back. I know losing Davenport, it was a really bad injury for the Saints, but I think they still have enough, even playing outside of that dome, to go on the road. And Tannehill, I know he's having a resurgence, but nobody's putting any money on Ryan Tannehill. They still got a battle there in the AFC South, but I can't right now pick against Drew Brees and the Saints. They're just playing too good football. I'm going with the Saints.
Yeah, and I know it's a road game for the Saints. I know the weather looked like it's going to be sunny in the 50s. So I think from that standpoint, I think it's definitely bearable to go on the road and win the football game. And right now, Drew Brees is playing outstanding. I mean, just look at what he's done the last 2 weeks with about, I think he's got 9 or 10 touchdowns. Well, I think he's got 9 throwing touchdowns and 1 running
and
touchdown.
One rushing.
And
yep.
In the last 2 games, very efficient. I mean, the other night, man, 29 of 30. Highest, not only did he break the touchdown, well, most touchdown passes by quarterback, but that was the highest completion percentage ever in a single game, 29 of 30, 96.7%. That is insane. And on that one incompletion, he said, I should have threw it to Michael Thomas because he was open. And
right.
So he's, you know, very critical of himself, obviously, and that's what keeps driving him. And, yeah, and you look at the last 5 games, especially since that Falcons loss, the Saints' offense has been really outstanding. And the offensive line is playing tremendously as well. So, I mean, I like the Saints here too. And you're worried about the defensive line losing Davenport and Sheldon Rankins for the season. But and I was worried going into that Colts game because Colts have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And a good running back. I thought the Colts were going to be able to run the football on the Saints. And but their defensive line and the defense played outstanding and stopping the run. So I think they can do more of the same against the Titans. I think Titans will put up a little bit better offensive showing than the Colts did, though. But I'm going to go with the Saints 30-17 on the road.
Curtis, go ahead.
Well, the only thing I can say is New Orleans is coming on a short week. So this is a short week for them. But they're on a roll. And this was another hand-scratcher for me on Sunday. I thought the Titans had that game. And I thought the Titans were ready to take over that division. And again, I was wrong. And I hate being wrong. But the Titans need this game. They really do. But I don't think they're going to get it. So I'm taking the Saints to win 32-28.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
He's been a pro's pro. He's been a phenomenal athlete and just a great person all around. I am picking the Saints, and I don't think it's going to be a game where the Saints are marching on. I think they're in a good position and a good place right now with how the team's going. And I think that the Saints are going to win 31-13, big win for the Saints. What you got?
Go ahead, Dre.
Let's go on to the Ravens and the Browns game.
Yeah. Dre?
Andre, you awake?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll start it off. I mean, the Browns losing to the Cardinals, I don't care if they're playing on Pluto. It's just unacceptable with all the firepower they have. And nothing that I see from Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram with that 1-2 punch running the ball. Losing the blue, they're going to go and lay an egg. They look like they're on a mission. They can go ahead and try to lock up, the home field advantage there in the AFC. I just can't bet against those dudes right now. It's always a different – every week it's a different set of circumstances with the Browns. Now Kareem Hunt is talking about guys who are taking plays off against the Cardinals. I mean, there's just nothing positive that comes out week to week for the Browns. I'm going with the Ravens and attempt to keep that machine rolling and keep that momentum going toward the playoffs. I think that's a 14-17 point game. Ravens win.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be close at all. I mean, Baltimore, I've been saying this probably the last 5, 6, maybe 7 weeks, that they're playing the best football of any team in the National Football League right now. And like I said all along, they're getting it done with all three phases of the game. Lamar Jackson is by far the NFL's MVP thus far this season. And they're just on the roll right now. I'm going to go 38-17 Baltimore.
I'm gonna have to pick the Ravens as well. I think that, like I said early at the beginning of the season, with the analogy that I used for Cleveland is, they're that lottery. They won that $1 million lottery and now they're broke. They haven't got a dime to their name. And right now, they're broke. I think it's going to be at least, probably 34-17 or 34-13. I think it's going to be a fairly easy victory for the Ravens. And the Ravens are right now the best team in the league, in my opinion.
It's in Cleveland. Cleveland fans, I think that idiot coach they got is going to be – doodling all over himself, trying to explain this butt kicking to the fans in Cleveland. I think Baltimore is going to make a point. Everybody's going to be talking about Baker Mayfield being an idiot, and it's just really too bad. A couple of notes. You guys seen the stories about some of these players asking to go to other teams. But that tells me that players don't believe in Baker and they don't believe in that coach. They think that's a circus in Cleveland and they want out. One thing I am going to say, though, side note, I will be watching Arizona and Seattle this Sunday. I'll be at that game. So I'll get to see the little guy. Yeah, I'll get to see the little guy in person. See what I see. Although, I don't think they got a chance.
Both of those quarterbacks only about 5'11".
It ought to be interesting. And it should be fun. I'll be with family. And this would be kind of like a Christmas thing for me.
Nice. That's good stuff. All right, so let's finish this off. The Packers at the Vikings. That, like you said, that I think is the game of the week. And I'll let you go ahead and start us off there, Rob.
Hey, quietly, the Vikings are playing some scary good football right now. And a lot of people are talking about it either. I mean, they have been playing outstanding. I mean, they opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Chargers this past weekend. I mean, 39-10, they got it done on the defensive end, offensive end. Dalvin Cook is running the ball. Offensive line is playing outstanding. Even Kirk Cousins quietly is having a really good season right now. And he's got weapons on the perimeter as well. So you look at that team, and Mike Zimmer is going to have them coached up on the defensive side of the football. That's a scary team right now. It's going to be a scary team to face in the playoffs, too. But I like the Vikings at home. I know the Packers got a murder of the year in Green Bay. But I like Minnesota in this football game. Green Bay, even though Green Bay is 11-3, it's not been that impressive if you really watch some of those games. And, I mean, the Bears had some chances in that game to really send that game to overtime or really keep it close. But I like Minnesota in this game. I really do. And I think it's going to be like 30-20. I think it's going to be a 10-point victory for the Vikings at home. I think they're a better team, too.
Go ahead, Wyckoff.
Well, you know, when Curtis and I were talking about this game, and what we do is, you know, we get the text message and we kind of write down what our picks are and what we're going through. And I had picked the Vikings, and, you know, I was watching them last week, and man, they looked tough. And if they play anywhere near the way they played this last weekend, I think they'll handle the Packers, and I believe they will. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, given enough time, you know, so many times in his career, what's happened, he's been scrambling for his life or, you know, whatever. But he's got time, he's got a team around him, and he's playing good football. And I also think it's probably going to be a 10-point Viking win as well.
It's hard for me to especially in this game, it's hard for me to pick against the Green Bay Packers. And remember, I was the guy that picked the Green Bay Packers to win this division. And so if Green Bay is going to show anybody anything, they're going to win this game. So I'm picking the Packers to win 27-26.
And just to finish this off, I think they said Kirk Cousins is 0-8 or 0-9 as a starting quarterback on Monday Night Football, and it's the worst of all time. And when I look at that division here for the past couple, you know, as long as, you know, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have been doing their thing, it always feels like the Vikings are just like the little brother in the situation. It's like, yeah, the Vikings are going to, yeah, but they have a problem beating the Packers. So with those two things being combined, I agree with you, though. Minnesota's played phenomenal, but Dalvin Cook is hurt. And they said he's probably not going to play this last 2 weeks with that shoulder injury. So I'm going to go with the Packers just for those things. Cook's injuries, Cousins' record on Monday night, and Green Bay has a dude named Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Packers in a close game. Probably a little bit lower scoring. I would say 20-17 Green Bay. So let's keep this moving. I want to, you know, kind of combine a couple of them because we've kind of touched on the New England offense being bad, and I think we all kind of agree that we think Lamar Jackson is probably the MVP. He's just playing lights out. But I am interested to hear you guys take now that the Panthers have benched Kyle Allen in favor of Will Greer. What do the Panthers do with Cam Newton, Rob?
I mean, that's a really good question. And what I would like to see Carolina do is because the Kyle Allen, he got off to a really hot start, playing really well, and he's kind of cooled off a little bit, but a lot of that could be a part because of the coaching change. It looked like they have really just, you know, it looked like they've just really turned it in right now as far as Carolina is concerned. But I would like to see Carolina bring Cam Newton back because I don't think you can be sold on Kyle Allen. And I would just have an open competition in training camp and just let the best man be the starter. You know, I don't know Cam Newton if he'll be open to that, but I would bring him back if you can and have an open competition for that starting quarterback job going into training camp next year. And like I said, the question is, will Cam be okay with that or if he wants to go somewhere where he's going to definitely be the starter? But if you can, I would try to convince him to come back and see if we can have an open competition.
Go ahead, Gary Curtis.
Well, I don't know where he would go where he would be a starter. You know, there's not very many teams I don't think that would even – I think he's kind of washed up myself. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You know, what depends on who they draft, you know.
True.
I don't know. I'm thinking that you would probably do that, but I think his ego would get in the way of that possibly, unless he thought, oh, yeah, I got this guy. I can handle business again. And then if he didn't, then at that point, does he become a distraction to the team? I want out, you know, pouting, doing whatever. I don't know. Let him go. Cut him.
If you ask me, there's two people in this whole scenario that I can't figure out at all. I can't figure out Cam Newton. I kind of never have. Although in that Super Bowl.
You say you can't figure him out. You can't figure out him because of the way he dressed.
No, I can't figure him out. I can't figure out nothing about that man. And I can't figure out why he didn't die for that football in that Super Bowl. And then look like a baby crying in the press conferences after that Super Bowl. And after that Super Bowl, to me, was when I could not. I don't have the brain cells to try to figure him out. But somebody else I can't figure out.
He died for that football. He had just got his hair and nails done.
Well, I better not say that on radio. And the other person that I can't figure out this new owner. And I don't know why he fired that guy when he fired him. If he didn't want him, he should have let the guy play out the season. And I think that he lost the team on that whole thing. And so this guy doesn't know anything about football, apparently, because he really shouldn't have did that.
So what would you do with Cam Newton?
Well, I think Cam Newton's cheap. he might be a cheap date. So, yeah. I don't think Cam's gonna be in Carolina next year. I don't know where he's going, but I don't think he's coming back to Carolina because his head probably isn't there, and who knows where his head is. And this new owner, I don't think he knows football.
No, and
well, you know, we talked about teams that need a quarterback. You can make a case. Miami, you know, is Ryan Fitzmagic the answer? I mean,
no.
You can make a case. You can make a case. Well, Mitch Trubisky has started to look a little bit better here in the last few weeks, but you can still make a case for the Bears as a possibility. And so, I mean, there's some teams out there. Jacksonville, you sold on Nick Foles being the guy. You sold on Mustache Dude. And
Mustache Newton.
I mean, so,
all those guys you mentioned, I would take over Cam Newton.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what I was saying.
He comes before the draft in football, too. So,
yeah.
So that's another thing, too. You know, JQ mentioned the Bengals. I mean, that could be a possibility because, you know, although I think Burrow can start from day one in the NFL just because of his age and experience playing in a pro-style offense. But, yeah, you never know. There's some teams out there that still could use a quarterback. But ladies and gentlemen, I know you recognize the music. That ends the live portion of our show. We still got a lot to talk about, though. We still got some football. We still got some basketball. We got some college football. So we still got a lot to talk about. We're going into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link the rest of the week, and we will get the rest of the show to you. So click on the same link on tomorrow, Friday, so you get the rest of the show. Make sure you write us, email us, let us know what you think about the show. Let us know if you agree with us or disagree with us. We would love to hear from you. Next week, obviously Tuesday is Christmas Eve, Wednesday is Christmas night. So we're going to be here on Monday night next week. We're coming to you on Monday night next week, the 23rd. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Hawaiian Time. We don't want you to miss it. We got a lot to talk about going into the last week of the regular season and then also getting you ready for the college football playoffs, which will be coming up as well the following weekend. We look forward to seeing you next week. Good night, people.
Yeah, everything my man Rob just said, you know, we got a little bit more football to talk to you about. We might squeeze some basketball in. I'm not sure if we'll make it that far. But, you know, we appreciate all y'all, and hopefully you all, you know, you enjoy your money with us, and then you go ahead and see your Christmas holidays. And make sure you get all of them presents wrapped, and make sure you get your kids what they want. So appreciate y'all for tuning into the show. And then we're going to head into our OT portion at this point. I just kind of want to wrap up the talk about the Panthers and Cam Newton.
I love how it goes. Like, I love the end. I love the end.
Oh, there he is.
Oh,
we hear you now.
Back. There he is, people. He just woke up.
I just want to piggyback on the end of that Panthers Cam Newton conversation. I think if you're the Panthers, you've seen that Kyle Allen probably is maybe not that guy. He looks like he'd just be a game manager, maybe a backup. It really depends to me on what Will Greer does. And I know that puts a lot of pressure on that young fella, you know, with two games left. But if he starts to give you any flashes about what he can be, then you might move on from Cam. But if Cam is now, you know, a couple surgeries in, if he gets the time to rehab and get himself right healthy, because if you're going to be honest, he hurt his foot. He was coming off the shoulder, and then he hurt his foot, and he just wasn't right. And you could tell that he wasn't right to start the season. If he comes back healthy, he's still better than what you got on your roster. So unless you go and address that in the draft and or free agency, I think you may give Cam, to your point, Rob, you may not say it out loud, just to open competition, but he's on thin ice. And you give him a chance to win it in training camp. And if not, then you start to quietly feel for some trade bait out there and see if you can get a deal for him and maximize him before you have to cut your losses. So that's what I would do if I was Carolina. I would try to give Cam, healthy Cam, a chance to show that he's still that guy. And if not, then you move on.
I'm just going to sit back and just let y'all do the talking, man. It's beautiful, man. I don't have to do nothing, man. Sit back. Take a night off. Have some fun here. That was good, man. Oh, man. Good calls, man. Where do we go, man? Again, we can talk about a lot of stuff, man. I definitely want to do some college football, but I do want to give if we're not jumping ahead, too, I definitely want to let Rob talk about Joe Burrow. Winning the Heisman, and just a great shout out to Joe, man, because again, what a great call that he did to you know, talk about his hometown, and it's kind of like that was fantastic how you used that platform to get folks to kind of give, and I thought that was phenomenal, man. So just Rob, I know you want to talk about that. JQ, you maybe look at your new quarterback, if you will, bro, for the Bengals. Maybe talk about different options.
There's no doubt.
So, and then of course there is some talk about Chase Young maybe not coming out. I don't know if you know a little bit about that. But again,
lies.
You can talk to as well. I know it's a lot.
Right.
There's some reports about that. I'm just saying, but again, probably 90%. Yeah, it's going to happen too, but there's some things that he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about, like saying, but anyway, Rob, talk about the Joe Burrow and Heisman, all that fun stuff too, for sure.
Well, obviously it was inevitable. The season that he had, we already talked about, you know, his growth process from his junior year to senior season. And, you know, being with Joe Brady, and, you know, obviously Joe Burrow deserves a lot of that credit, too, for picking up the concepts of that offense and processing information quickly, and also his talent, you know, along with Joe Brady as well. So definitely, by far, I think he won it by over 1,800 points. So it was definitely the clear, you know, front runner. I mean, when you look at what he's done this season, when you think about all the great quarterbacks that have played in the SEC, there has not been another SEC quarterback that has put up the kind of season that Joe Burrow just put up this past season. Not Peyton Manning, not the old ball coach. And, I mean, you just think about those two guys alone. And, I mean, Eli Manning also played in the SEC, and none of those guys had the kind of season that Joe Burrow put up in the SEC this past season. And, I mean, that is simply phenomenal. And you go even back to Jared Lorenzen when he played at Kentucky, and he was just throwing the ball all over
hefty
the place.
Lefty.
And,
Tim Cal-
yeah, hefty lefty.
Wow.
So, I mean, is this
Rob.
The greatest season in SEC history. Even
yeah.
all over
well,
the like Alabama guys, Ken Stabler.
Rob. I want to regress. I got – that senior year that Cam Newton had for Auburn, I would match that season up that Cam Newton had at Auburn to what Joe Burrow did with LSU this year.
And that's a great point. And Cam Newton did have a phenomenal season. There's no doubt about it. But when you put the statistics next to Joe Burrow's stats next to Cam Newton's stats, and obviously Cam Newton got a lot of running stats. Now, Burrow don't have that. But when you look at the passing numbers that Joe Burrow put up, there's not been an SEC quarterback in SEC history that's put up those kind of passing numbers that Joe Burrow has put up. I mean, he broke the record for most SEC passing touchdowns in the season. the yardage she's put up. There has not been another quarterback from a passing standpoint in SEC history. Now, Cam Newton, what he did was phenomenal. There's no doubt about it. He won a Heisman Trophy. And obviously he won a national championship too. But from a passing stat standpoint, there hasn't been another quarterback in the SEC history that's put up the kind of numbers that Burrow did this year.
Hey, man, you know how I feel about Joe Burrow.
Yeah, go ahead.
That boy is from Athens, Ohio. He actually is an Ohio State University graduate before he transferred to LSU. So, you know, and if you look at it, it's a lot of Buckeye fans that still have a lot of love for Joe Burrow. He just got lost in the numbers game at that particular point in time. There's no animosity towards Joe Burrow. If you look at a lot of the reactions from the Buckeye fans online, they were very happy for him. They loved that speech as well, like you mentioned there, Dre. So, yeah, I can't quibble with it. You know, he already had the numbers, but that play in the SEC championship game, if they hadn't already voted for him, I don't know who number 44 is for Georgia, but that move he got put on him twice in that 76-yard pass afterwards, I was like, yeah, you can go ahead and get that dude the trophy right now. It's over. So, you know, shout out to Joe Burrow. You know, I like that dude. I like his moxie. I love his growth. He's been a fantastic quarterback. I'm, you know, a little upset we couldn't keep him, but everything works out the way it's supposed to. And he just had a phenomenal year, and I just don't think there was anybody more deserving this year to win the Heisman than him.
Hey, Rob, you can trade up all your players. You can get Joe Burrow if you want to, man. Just go ahead and just make that happen, man. Just trade Lucky, you know, the whole draft to the Bengals. And
see little Ricky Williams.
Number one. There it is,
man. There was actually like a question on local sports talk in New Orleans about that. You know, do you trade up to try to get Joe Burrow? And I emphatically said, no, we don't trade up to get Joe Burrow. I think the Saints have a very talented roster. You saw what they were able to do even when Drew Brees got hurt this year. And so I would say definitely the question to that is no. And, shucks, the way Drew Brees is playing right now, shucks, it looked like he can give us at least another year at that level. And maybe more, maybe two. So, no, the answer would be no. The Saints does not make that trade.
I love it. Please do it for my Bengals. But, yeah, you don't do that. That's crazy. You had to trade your whole draft for that.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, and you look at the success the Saints have been having with drafting, even with guys in second and fourth round. You get Eric McCoy in the second round. He's a starting center, probably one of the top five centers in the game already. And then if you watch that game the other night, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, man, he was a beast against the Colts, and he was drafted in the fourth round. And so, I mean, he could play anywhere in the secondary, corner, safety. He's a very versatile guy. So they've been hitting on draft picks.
So, Rob, we'll let you talk about Drew Brees, and then after that, we're going to ask Curtis and Gary if Jason Garrett deserves the credit for the win over the Rams, man. So I can't wait to hear their comments on that, too, before we wrap this up. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Drew Brees is a class act. And, I mean, what he's done, obviously, for the city of New Orleans, both on and off the field, extremely class act. I don't see how anybody can hate the guy, even if you're a Falcon fan. No, just mess with you, Jay.
I've always said I never hated Drew Brees. I mean, like, he's a great guy, man. You know, obviously, I'm a fan. But, you know, other than that, you know, it's because he plays for the Saints. But good dude, 100%. Good dude. Go ahead.
Yeah. So definitely a class act. And like I said, what he's done on and off the field, what he's done for the community in New Orleans has been phenomenal. And a leader he is, too. Not only is he a great football player, but he's obviously a great leader, tremendous. And we're just hoping that we can get him another ring this year, you know, get that second ring for him. It's been 10 years since the last one. But obviously, congratulations to Drew Brees, well deserved, and what a performance on Monday night! I mean, to go 29 of 30, that's just like insane.
And Rob,
yeah,
it's funny because go ahead, real quick, JK, before you jump in, it's funny because Bobby Aber was on the, you know, he calls into line of station a lot of times too, and it's hilarious because he's talking about you know, how they go back. He's like, I wish my daughter would have married Drew Brees back in the day. It's hilarious how he's talking about that too. Man. I wish my daughter would have met Drew Brees back in the day.
You know, Bobby Abear does local sports talk in New Orleans, and they do a segment on Wednesday evening called QB to QB, where Bobby Abear interviews Drew Brees every Wednesday. So it's usually a pretty cool segment. But you know, the thing I think that, you know, the thing that makes Drew Brees the thing that makes Drew Brees great is he dwells on a one completion. One incompletion.
Incompletion.
He dwells on the one incompletion, probably more than what he did on the other things he did in the game. And he was like, Michael Thomas was open on the play, and that's who he should have threw the ball to. And
Rob, you put me in a melodramic glaze here. And I can tell you that I was fortunate enough to be at that Super Bowl when he beat Peyton Manning back in 2010 in Miami. But
I was there too.
You know, by me listening to your melodramatic maze that you're giving me, it's making me think about the old days of when the Saints were called the Aints. And Archie Manning was down there playing. And they're the first team that I ever saw.
Life back then,
yeah, they were the first team I ever saw that the fans were wearing paper bags on their head with the eyes and the mouth cut out. The Aints were the only – I've never saw that before that way back when I was a little guy. But those fans were doing that back when I was a little guy, wearing those paper bag faces. And they were called the Aints. But, no, I think, and I hope the Saints, it'd be cool for the Saints to win it, since there was some hard calls against them the last couple years. And this might cure those ills.
Yeah, and I remember that Super Bowl. That was Prince in the Rain with the Florida A&M 100 doing Purple Rain. That was awesome. I remember that Super Bowl. I'll never forget that. Yeah, but, you know, Drew Brees and what he's meant to that city and to that organization and revitalizing them. I mean, he seems like a really stand-up good guy. And, you know, even as somebody that, you know, cheers for the Falcons secondary, you know, I still have no problems, you know, saying, you know, taking my hat off to him and saying, you know, if anybody deserves it, coming back from that shoulder injury where he was left on the scrap heap, I mean, for the love of Christ, Miami took Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. Just think about that. So
yeah, I remember Nick Saban's word. He said, I'd rather have a guy coming off of a leg injury than a shoulder injury if we're going to be playing quarterback.
Right.
Wow.
And like you
Nick
said,
Saban, you got to throw with your legs, man.
Yeah. And the rest is history. So, you know, shout out to Drew. And he's not done yet. I mean, you know, he might have another elite year, but we thought that about Brady as well. He's hit a cliff this year. Now, mind you, his offensive line and what's happening there is different than what's happening in New Orleans. But I think he, at least in next year, he still has another elite year in him. And he's going to put that touchdown record just into the stratosphere, I think. So, you know, again, not to bemoan the point, but, yeah, Drew Brees is just a phenomenal dude and a phenomenal player.
But the other thing to think about, too, is I wanted to say San Diego. And they're not the Clippers, so that's going to have to be the Chargers. That quarterback might be done. And to think that organization passed over Drew Brees for that. And he did get to the Super Bowl early, but that's it. And you see Drew just outshining that decision, and whoever made that decision way back when, they're probably not in football anymore.
Well, I won't take that much away from, you know, what's that quarterback's name down there in San Diego?
Rivers.
You know?
Well, he's like to talk a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's been a solid quarterback. I don't think he's not a Drew Brees, but he's been a good quarterback for him, and he's been competitive, and he's had competitive teams, and you know, so, I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, it was a was it a bad choice? Yeah, they would have been better if they would have kept him, but they had a good quarterback as well. I mean, Drew Brees is, you know, he's at that elite level. You know, he's one of the top, you know, 150 quarterbacks in the league, you know, in my opinion. That was for you, Rob.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we had a segment on here, one of the top five quarterbacks of all time, and I definitely think Drew Brees is in that number. I mean, if I had to rank the top five, You know, I would give Tom Brady the number one spot, you know, as far as top five QBs in the league of all time. I'll put Joe Montana number two. And
ooh,
I'll put Peyton Manning three. I'll put Drew Brees number four. And I'll put Brett Favre number five.
I can't quibble with that.
His arm is strong enough to throw in a triple coverage.
Yeah, man. He used to kill me with that. Pat Summerall and John Madden and praising him for throwing in the triple coverage. Man, he used to kill me with that. Like any other quarterback, you would kill for that. But it was Brett Favre. And
it was
that guy.
Any
like
other quarterback would be an idiot for throwing the triple coverage. Oh, his arm is so strong. He just whip it in there.
He's a gunslinger. Yeah, they used to kill me with that. But I can't cool with that top five, though. I mean, that's a pretty solid top five.
Mm-hmm. I've been flipping Joe Montana. But other than that, yeah, it's all good. But
Joe Montana, you can never count him out, man. That guy, you know, he's down three points, man, and he got the ball in the fourth quarter. You can forget it.
Don't tell me about
it. He was just so cool about it, too. He was
going to
cuddle.
So, yeah, tell me about it. Come to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I mean, Andre and I have seen it a lot, too, with the Falcons and the Saints, and we were in the same division with the 49ers back in the day, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was bad.
Go ahead, Curtis. Right, what do you got?
I want to, you know, when we talk about this, and I talk about this with a lot of people that I work with on the job, and I go with who's the only quarterbacks to do this. The first quarterback to win four Super Bowls was Terry Bradshaw, and Terry Bradshaw is the only quarterback to have two back-to-backs. I do not even come close to putting Joe Montana past Terry Bradshaw. He won four first. He's got two back-to-backs, and he won his Super Bowls in 6 years, and he beat great Cowboy teams. He beat great Raider teams. And Montana beat Cincinnati twice.
Hey.
And he only had one back-to-back and went 7 years to do them. When Bradshaw
those
went two back-to-back and six. Yeah,
hey,
I don't
hey,
care.
Hey, hey.
Boy, Joe Montana, I don't think he can wipe up Terry Bradshaw's shoes. I don't think he can shine Terry Bradshaw's shoes. I don't know.
Oh,
about
my
that.
Gosh.
I mean, we got to agree to disagree on that one. But,
yes. Again. You talk about the steel curtain defense. You talk about Stallworth and Lynn Swann and the running backs, the immaculate reception. I mean, he had a squad in Pittsburgh. Like,
they
he
had,
just was a game
they
manager.
Were,
you're right. They were a squad. And Joe Montana was a great system quarterback, a little dink and dunk quarterback.
And the other thing I should think about Joe Montana – Joe Montana, San Francisco couldn't wait to get to Steve Young. And if you're the greatest quarterback of all time, how is your organization telling you they can't wait to get to Steve Young?
Yeah, and not only that, they went to Denver and they offered Denver two first-round picks for John Elway. And Denver said, we want three first-round picks. So they walked away from it. So if you're the one or two, you're 1A and 1B, no one ever came, with New England, they never once even thought about, you know, trading the GOAT. Not one time. They, guess what? 49ers, they wanted to. They wanted to trade him, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him and get Steve Young in there. So,
great,
I mean,
greatest quarterback of all time. Steve Young.
Greatest quarterback of all time beat Cincinnati. Nice.
Those Cincinnati teams were good. You're going to get off my Bengals, okay?
Too.
We only had a couple good teams
Dallas
in history,
too.
And those was two of them. Like, y'all, I mean, I know it's not like great name recognition, but those Cincinnati teams were pretty
all right.
good.
We'll give you that one.
Damn.
And then, like I said at first, there's not another quarterback
there's not another quarterback that took a team, although they lost all four of them, and they lost two of them to great Cowboy teams again. But that man, nobody else has taken a team to four Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah,
no quarterback has done that. Four Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah. But I agree with Bradshaw. Terry was a great quarterback.
No, am I mistaken?
But
Jim
those Steeler teams were great. I think anybody could let those Steeler teams to those Super Bowls. Not to take anything away from Terry Bradshaw, but those Steelers, I mean, that defensive line, the defense the Steelers had, the weapons he had on the perimeter, the running backs he had with Rocky Blyer and Franco Harris. I mean, they were just a loaded football team. And like I said, I think Terry Bradshaw was a good NFL quarterback, but these five guys I have on the list, they were great NFL quarterbacks.
I agree.
Well,
100%.
How many of them got four Super Bowls?
Hey, man, Drew Brees has some of the worst defenses in NFL history. But I know he's only have one, but you look at the stats he's put up. You know, Montana's got four. Brady, how many you got? Six?
Six.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got Brady in
Brady's
there with six. You got
Brady,
Montana,
Brady.
And there were four.
That's still after.
Favre's got
Brady.
One. Peyton Manning's got two. When you look at the stats that Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Brett Favre has put up, it's just hard to deny them.
You're right, the game has evolved, you know, as more protection.
And more passes.
When you've got quarterbacks like Roger Staubach and you've got quarterbacks like
Don Elway,
Terry Bradshaw, and you've got, you know, defensive guys that are casting up their hands so if they can't get to him, they can at least knock him in the head. How many of these quarterbacks could, you know, tolerate any of that stuff? You know, look at you got a guy in the league,
Y'all might as well put Danny White in a conversation.
You're saying
Roger Staubach shouldn't be in there?
Five
Super Bowl appearances, two Super Bowls. Absolutely, he should be in the conversation ahead of Brett Favre, Brett Favre.
Roger Staubach played with 25 Hall of Famers on his team.
It's still apples and oranges. And you know, in the old days, listen, NFL don't have guys like Ronnie Lott in the league anymore. They don't have guys like Mean Joe Green in the league anymore. They don't have guys in the league no more like Atkins and Tatum that were paralyzing kids out there. The league has gotten rid of all those kind of guys. I know they got to deal with health and the health issue because we may be more of the advanced people as the generations get older. But these guys played, it was a running league and it was a mono-on-mono league. It was, like I said, Atkins and Tatum were paralyzing people. They were. Ronnie Lott was. John Lynch. These guys. LT. Lawrence Taylor. Oh, my God. The league does not do that. They don't even want those guys in the league anymore. It's a real different league now.
Yep. Right.
I like this kind of party.
We have definitely went beyond the boundaries of Pride Rock. So, you know the drill. Give you guys a chance to talk about your last topic. We wrap this up. Go ahead, guys.
Curtis, what do you got? What do you want to talk about? I want to say happy holidays to you guys. I love our passion that we have. We all have sometimes we'll have real similar opinions on things. Sometimes we'll be passionate and having you know, differences of opinion, but, you know, we respect everybody's opinions. I think it's just great. It's great to be on this podcast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm sorry, you guys, I went off, but, and I mean, you're right when it comes to statistics. I'm not the big statistic guy. I'm the guy that wants to see the heart, and I want to see the fight, and I want to see the mono of mono. I want to see the knockouts. I want to see the drag out.
You have the chest.
Yeah, I don't want to see. I don't, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that guy. Get off my lawn, you know, that old guy. But it is a totally different game, it hurts me a little bit because what caught my attention as a little guy. When I saw Johnny Unitas play, I saw the great Kansas City Chiefs with Lenny Dawson, Elmo Wright. My dad went to school with a guy that was on that Kansas City team. I got Jim Plunkett's rookie autograph when he was with the Boston Patriots, and I shook his hand. I gave him a soul handshake, and my thumb and finger couldn't go around his thumb. You know, and I remember Floyd Little and those Denver Broncos teams, and I was a little guy, and I could see how hard those men were working, and it rubbed off on me because I believe I was one of those hard grinding, working guys on all my jobs. And I got that from watching football as a young dude and seeing these guys grit their teeth and elbows and fight it out. And that's the part of football I totally fell in love with. And so now they're taking a lot of that out of the game. And it hurts me a little bit. It does. And so that's, that's where I'm at.
And I think in a nutshell, what Curtis is saying is there are some of these quarterbacks back then that will not compare to this new style of protected quarterback because they weren't protected like that. They were just like any other football player. They could be slammed down. They could be stomped on, and so it was a completely different ball game. But if you look at, what those teams did and how those guys fought and clawed, and got bloodied, you don't see that type of a game anymore. And that's why I kind of get frustrated with, with this top five quarterbacks. And, the GOAT, he's got six, but,
Asterisk.
Yeah. There's been a lot of great players, so we could go on and on and on, but what else has anybody else got on this topic, or what do you want to talk about? We're down in the West Coast.
Go ahead, Ron.
I was going to go last and to close out the show, man. Yeah.
Okay, well. All right, well, I was going to say, one thing real quick. Yeah, shout out to my Bearcats for upsetting number 21 Tennessee today. Big win they had to have, even though they had a tough start to the year. They're giving some games away here early, but that's a big victory for them in terms of the resume, hopefully looking for the tournament. But you know where I'm going with this. I'm ready. Even though I looked at the tickets and I probably is a jinx, but it's $1,200 to sit at the top of the dome in New Orleans for the national championship game, $1,200 to sit in section 635. I said, come on, New Orleans. Not $1,200 to sit with the birds, but it is what it is. I'm ready to get these football games started again.
JQ.
Hey, whatever, man. That's you. Like I said, I ain't got that private duck helicopter taking me to games.
JQ goes to Major League Baseball games every year and drops a couple of grand on them. Every year.
That's a lie. That's a lie. I go to the city and I party. I don't actually go to the game. I go to the Futures game, which is like a $50 ticket and not a $1,500 ticket. So I'm just going to set the record straight on that.
So you spend about $2,000 worth of beer when you go on those trips. Yeah.
You guys, I'll tell you what. This guy that's sitting next to me, Curtis, he does spend the bank on this stuff. He goes to every damn concert. You know, he goes to lots of different ball games. He's going up to the game with the Hawks. He spends the do-re-mi on this stuff.
Well, I got this attitude. Like I said, I always thought I was a bust-ass guy. And I believe in the only answer I had to anything is hard work. Because I couldn't invent the Pet Rock. I couldn't invent Whiteout. I didn't go to the moon and come back with moon rocks. And I didn't come from a family that had 40 acres and a mule. And I could not, I didn't have the brain to invent the Rubik's Cube. So the only thing I can invent and the only thing I knew how to do was bust me some butt. Now, on that, if I want to entertain myself, the sky's the limit because of how hard I feel like I've worked. And so the sky's the limit. And I'm looking at going to this Super Bowl. We're going to have to wait and see what my health is like. And we want those prices to come down a lot, too, because I've been looking at them. They need to come down there. I'm not going to go that crazy.
And he'll go that crazy. He will go that crazy, and I know he will.
Yeah, no, that's all I had. It was just that I happened to look at that today because I was trying to plan my trip to Rob's couch. I was like, how much I could get into that game for? And I was like, oh, my God. I guess if that happens, I'm just going to be on Bourbon Street watching it at a bar because I ain't saying I got money to the top of the dome. So it is what it is. Hopefully, I'm ready to get these games going. We saw Oklahoma lost three guys to suspicion. I think it was due to a failed drug test. They just put themselves further behind the eight ball in trying to upset LSU, which I don't think will happen. I think Ohio State and Clemson is just a ridiculously crazy good game. If everybody brings their A game, and I think they will. So I'm really ready now at this point, chomping at the bit to get those games going and see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, and LSU got a blow today with Clyde Edwards-Helaire injuring his hamstring in practice. We don't know how serious it is. Obviously, we're about 9-10 days away from the game. So hopefully he'll be healed up and ready to play by that matchup. But that was somewhat of a blow today with him hurting his hamstring.
That's number 22, ain't it?
Yeah, yep, number 22.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm through, man. It's all yours.
Yeah, definitely need him. He's effective in the passing game, pass blocking schemes, as well as running the football. So hopefully he can be healed up by the 28. I'm going to close out with out of the topics. I'm going to go with the top five teams in the NFL right now. I think I already told you who I think number one, and that is the Ravens. Obviously, I don't need to speak more on that. Number two, I have the Saints in the number two spot. We've already talked about the Saints. So I want to talk a whole lot about that. And the Patriots as well. I got them in the number three spot, surprisingly. I have the Packers in the four spot, and I have the Seahawks in the five spot. Those are currently who I have as the top five teams in the NFL. That kind of concludes our show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, next week we got the holidays, Tuesday's Christmas Eve, Wednesday Christmas Day. So we're going to air on Monday night, people. So we're going on a short week rest. So we're going to be back to you on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Hawaiian Time. You don't want to miss it. We promise to have a great show for you guys on Monday night. Anything else, gentlemen?
Nah, man. Good for me. I appreciate you, fellas.
Yep.
Everybody drive safe.
I'll be in Cali.
Yeah, everybody be safe. Don't go crazy out there on this holiday shopping. And if you get a chance to love family and love your loved ones, and I think Christmas is a lot about the kids. Blow the kids'
oh, yeah.
mind if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good call. I was just going to say, I'll be in Cali. I'm going back to Cali. I'll be calling in Monday.
Where Cali you going to, buddy?
I'll be in San Fran, then I'm going to drive. We'll drive back to Vacaville. So we'll be north and then south. But yeah, it'll be fun.
So, yeah, man. Have a good time, bro.
Yeah.
All right, be safe. You might run into some weather.
Yep. All right. Well, like I said, Rob, go ahead and wrap this up, man. Like I said, JQ, nothing else for you to say on that wrap up, man, as well, man. But again, we appreciate you guys, Curtis and Gary. It's been a great year having you guys on. And like I said, just hope you guys have a fantastic. I know we'll talk before the official like Christmas holiday. But again, as you're wrapping up,
be safe.
And yeah, it's been a very eventful show. You can't make all this stuff up all the time, man. But we got to continue the conversation next week about Terry Bradshaw. But anyway, all good. Be good, guys. And, apologies for Blog Talk. I can tell when Blog Talk's going to mess up whenever it has some. I should have thought about the precursor, but it was all good. See you guys same time. And then see you next week on Monday night, as Rob said. Peace out, fellas.
All right, y'all. Have a good week.
Yep.